Okay, thank you so much for the opportunity to share with you today. And I'm going to be speaking about the call of God to preach the gospel. And really, it's the call of God to do work of evangelism and to uplift Jesus Christ to save lost souls. That's what we're going to be looking at. I'm going to ask my wife to come and do the Bible reading for us. And it will come from 2 Timothy chapter 4, from verse 1 to verse 8. And this is the words of the Apostle Paul to the man that he had been training and brought up in the ministry called Timothy. And then I'll ask Natasha also to say the prayer for us.
Chapter 4, verse 1 says, I give you a command in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, the one who will judge the living and the dead, and by his coming and his kingdom. Preach the good news, be ready at all times, and tell people what they need to do. Tell them when they are wrong. Encourage them with great patience and careful teaching, because the time will come when people will not listen to the true teaching, but will find many more teachers who please them by saying the things they want to hear. They will stop the listening to the truth and will begin to follow the false stories. But you should control yourself at all times, accept troubles, do the work of telling the good news, and complete all the duties of a servant of God. My life is being given as an offering to the God, and the time has come for me to leave this life. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Now a crown is being held for me, a crown for being right with God, the Lord, the judge who judges rightly, will give the crown to me on the day, not only to me, but to all those who have waited with love for him to come again. Amen. Now may we all close our eyes and lead you all in prayer. It's okay, you can see. It's fine. Okay. Thank you, Lord God, Father. Thank you for this beautiful weather, beautiful day, and a beautiful Sunday without any natural disasters that we are all present here. Lord, thank you for the faith that you've given us in our heart to believe in you and the truth that we know today that has given us your love and your peace and joy in our heart that we are all present here together to listen to your word, O God. Lord, we are asking that whatever will be preached today will be in your name and will be the truth, and that is from the Holy Spirit himself. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I just feel a fire, like a fire burning in my heart to proclaim the gospel. And I hope this morning that you will also catch something of that fire. It's the fire of God's, for the kingdom of God to be established here on earth, just as it is in heaven. And it's the work of Jesus Christ who came to seek and to save lost sinners. And sometimes there needs to be a power and a strength to shake people's lives so that they will change. Especially the backsliders. Especially those that have known the truth of the Bible, but they're pulled by the influence of the world or by wrong friends, and they're so easily influenced by the world. They need this fire. Christians who find it difficult to share their faith, they need this fire. Maybe they need more training. They need encouragement. They need to learn what they can do, how to do it. And even working alongside other people who have got the fire of God can help you to catch the fire. So I want you this morning to catch the fire. And the Apostle Paul, he was a man that had the fire for the gospel because he had a powerful conversion. He had been a persecutor of the church. He had stood against the gospel in his ignorance and his sin and his deception. He had gone against the will of God. But by the grace of God, Jesus called him. And by the grace of God, Jesus has called all of us. He has called you. He's called me. And he has a calling for us, a purpose, a destiny, a special thing, a work that he wants to do in us and through our hearts and through our lives. And we have to believe for God's best. God, I don't just want to be an average Christian. I want to be a supernatural Christian on fire for God, filled with the Holy Spirit. And boldness will come into your heart. No fear will hold you back. But when you get on fire for God, it's like all the fear is burnt up and you are set free. And there is a boldness that comes into your heart, a strength from God. And Jesus Christ can strengthen you. So if you're feeling a bit weak and maybe you're thinking, well, I'm not so good at evangelism, catch the fire and you can receive boldness from God. And it's always good to begin in prayer, because prayer can open doors. So when we talk about evangelism, it's not that you have to do something that you think you can't do it. Well, maybe you think you can't do it, but you can. But you just got to start with one soul. Start asking Jesus Christ to give you one soul, and he will open the door. Can you believe for one soul? Well, at least you can make sure of your own salvation. That's one soul. So if you're backslidden and you give your life to Jesus, that's one soul right there to begin with. So make sure that you're strong. Make sure that you're growing in God. Make sure that you're filled with faith and filled with the Holy Spirit. And then continue praying. And once God gives you one soul, you can pray for another. And then you just continue and continue. And you're on fire and you spread the fire. So I want to be on fire for God. I want to spread the fire. I want this church to be on fire for God. I want you to be on fire today. Now, these words of the Apostle Paul from 2 Timothy chapter 4 are from a man who has done a great work with God, for God. And they're the best kind of men to learn from. And this is Paul's last book. And he knows that his time is short, that he's about to leave this world and go to his rewards. And he says some very beautiful things, like passing on the baton to the next, let's say, next future ministry generation to carry the light of God. And he's passing it on to Timothy. And Timothy was a man that he had trained well. And Timothy, in many ways, was quite an experienced man of God. But you can be an experienced man of God and still become discouraged or fall back. So these words in chapter 4 are especially important for those who have got the call of God upon their lives. That's you and me. So from verse 1, he says, in the presence of God. So he's bringing us into God's presence. Just open your spiritual eyes and think that you're coming before the throne of God. You're coming before Jesus Christ. And we're to view that Jesus Christ is the judge of the living and the dead. So he's making us even focus, sort of stand in awe of God, stand in awe of Jesus Christ, bringing us to think about the day of judgment. And it says, in view of his appearing, that's the second coming of Christ, when Jesus is going to return again in his power and glory. We need to think about that also. What's it going to be like when Jesus comes? That's like a cut-off point. It's like Jesus, it's like he's going to separate the sheep from the goats. It's like a judgment time, and he's coming in his glory, and there's going to be many people who are weeping on that day because they're not ready, but he's coming to bring salvation for those who are waiting for him. So it's a great and glorious day for the believers, but it's a day of horror for the unbelievers. And in view of his kingdom, so we've got to have a vision of the kingdom of God. We can see the kingdom of this world with our physical eyes, but we've got to see the kingdom of heaven with our spiritual eyes. And because of these things, he says, I give you this charge, or I give you this job, I give you this calling. And what is the calling? Preach the word. Preach the word. And in one sense, the word is Jesus Christ himself. Jesus Christ is the gospel. And I know the focus of the gospel is his death and resurrection, but everything about Jesus Christ is, in one sense, the gospel. He is the living word. He is the word of God. And we proclaim him. And we confess that Jesus is Lord. He's the King. He's the Master. And we call people to follow him. So we know the focus of our preaching. It says, be prepared in season and out of season. That's saying be prepared at all times to stand for God. Be prepared today, tomorrow, and every day. Be prepared when you don't feel like it. Be prepared when you're going through a storm, going through a bad season in life. He's saying always be prepared to preach the words. Don't let your feelings or your circumstances dictate the call of God upon your life. Know that God has called you, He can strengthen you, He can empower you, and you focus on Jesus Christ, these things, His kingdom, Him being the judge, Him coming again in His power, Him being the righteous judge of the living and the dead. You focus on these things that Paul's calling us to put our attention on so that we can have the right focus when we preach. It brings an earnestness, a zeal, a fire when we have a true view of Jesus Christ. And it says that we are to do three things. We're to correct, rebuke, and encourage. Three important things. When people need correction, we shouldn't hide from it. We should do it, though, with an attitude of love, with mercy and grace and blessing. But people need correction. Then people at times also need rebukes. And Jesus said that He rebukes even His church because He loves us. So again, the rebukes of God. We must listen to when God is going to rebuke us. And then thirdly, the nice part, which is encourage. Builds up, strengthen, be encouraged in your walk with Jesus Christ. And we are to do this with great patience and careful instruction. So this is how we disciple people. We've got to have patience working in their lives to not give up. And we've also got to give careful instruction. Now the Word of God, if you receive the right kind of messages, they can strengthen your faith, build you up, and encourage you to become a powerful servant of God. And who knows what God can do through you? And who knows if God can raise up from this church powerful prophets? If God can raise up from this church powerful apostles? Why not you? Well, careful instruction will guide you and lead you and encourage you and build you up to believe God for great things. And that's what I so often say to the people of this nation, that the powerful call of God is upon this nation, but you've got to lay hold of it. And you need this kind of instruction. But then we're warned of the obstacles and the difficulties, that there will be people and there will be men who don't put up with sound doctrine. They drift away from God. They fall into error. And sin always leads to error and false teachings, false doctrines. God is a holy, righteous God, and He works through the truth. But the devil tries to pull down the Word of God and lead people astray. And we are warned that people will want to suit their own desires. They will gather around them great number of teachers who say what their itching ears want to hear. So they want just a nice message. Don't be too hard on me. Okay, just let me do what I want to do. Just let me, I don't want to give up certain things. And they will just preach to the people what they want to hear instead of what they need to hear. So if people have got a bondage in their lives of drinking alcohol, you know, a false preacher will just say, oh, that's okay, it's all right, you don't need to give up the alcohol, just keep drinking. And they will just give the people, tickle their ears. And if there's adultery going on in the church, well, a false prophet, he wouldn't address the issue or just say, oh, God will forgive you, it's okay. Well, yes, God is willing to forgive you, but you have to repent. You have to change your heart. You have to get serious with God. So if sin comes into the church, false doctrine will come into the church. And unfortunately, some churches have allowed compromise to come in. But when you've got the view of Jesus Christ and His power as the judge of the living and the dead, and a true view of the second coming of Jesus and His kingdom, you won't want to compromise the Word of God. You won't want the blood of even Christians on your own hands that have been lost because of your false preaching. You'll be serious and warning the people, correcting, rebuking and encouraging, giving them encouragement. So sometimes when people are down, when they have sins and they think, no, it's hopeless, God won't forgive me, we need to encourage them. Yes, don't make excuses, just repent and God will forgive you. He will save you, He will set you free. Don't just fall into the pit and not get out. No, Jesus reaches out His hand. So even the worst sinner can be saved. So it's not like we're coming to condemn people, we're coming to save people, but we're also being serious, calling people to repent, get their lives right with God. Verse 4 says, they will turn away their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. We have to love the truth, and the truth is Jesus Christ, so that we will not turn to any other kind of false teaching. But you, verse 5, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship. Okay, we just have to say that this life on this earth is a time of testing, and all the problems and difficulties that we go through can help strengthen our faith and turn our faith into pure gold and purify our hearts if we let God work in us. And we also have to let God change our character. We all have bad attitudes at times. None of us are perfect, but God is perfect. And God says, even Jesus said, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. So I know that I need more work of God in my heart. Do you need more work of God in your heart? Yes, we all do, because it's an ongoing process of being changed and transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. So we need to focus on having the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I need more love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. They're the fruits that God is looking and trying to work in our lives. So if you're not having joy, come to God and say, God, help me to have the fruit of joy. If you're not having patience or peace, whatever it is, self-control, come to God and say, God, do the work in my heart so that I can be changed more like Jesus. I want to become like Jesus. Yes, we've all failed God in various ways, but we come to God and say, God, build me up, strengthen me, change me. Every day is an important day. You can produce fruit of God's kingdom. Be careful about the words you speak. Let God cleanse your mouth so that you speak words of faith. You can speak words of hopelessness. Maybe the situation looks hopeless because it's been hopeless for many years. But if you keep speaking faith into the situation, things can change. And it might be slow going. It might take a lot of time to see change. But keep speaking faith. Keep speaking faith. Keep speaking God's love into situations. And so let's, all of us, we need to do it. I need to do it. All of us need to do it. Then he gives the call to Timothy. He says to him, do the work of an evangelist. And this is what I'm going to emphasize today, that God is calling us to do the work of an evangelist. And you might say, hey, I'm not an evangelist. Well, it doesn't matter. God is saying to you, do the work of an evangelist. You might say, no, I don't want to do the work. But it's God who's calling us. One of the first calls of Jesus Christ, when he saw fishermen, he said, come follow me because I'm going to make you fishers of men. And that was really a call of evangelism. And they received it and they got up and they followed Jesus. But Jesus said, I'm going to make you. I'm going to make you into something. Jesus wants to make you. He wants to train you. He wants to disciple you. So it's not saying, oh, I can't do it. It's by my own strength. It's just saying, okay, Jesus, if you want to make me into that, make me. Here I am. It's being available. And God is going to make you into his servant. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. Then in verse 6 it says, I'm already being poured out like a drink offering. The time has come for my departure. As I already mentioned, Paul knew that his time was short now. His ministry was almost finished, but he had imparted his ministry into Timothy and many others so that they would carry on the work. And that's kind of vision we've got to put into our hearts, that life is short. Life is very short. Even if you think you've got many, many years, They're going to go by quickly. And once time is gone, you can't get it back. So you've got to have a vision right now. What am I imparting into these children? I'm imparting the call of God into them, that they will know that they are growing up with Jesus. They're going to be powerful servants of God. It's lifting up our faith. And Paul says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And that's what we want all of us to say when we get to the end of our lives, that we will have this good testimony. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness. He knew his reward, his treasure in heaven, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. So all of us can have the crown of righteousness. All of us can have this reward in heaven. Do you want it? Are you going to receive it? Or are you going to miss out? You're going to get to heaven and Jesus will say, okay, son, daughter, you just made it. Here's your little place on the side of the street. Or does he have the mansion for you? Not that we want material things, but all the treasures of heaven symbolize our relationship with God, partaking of intimacy with God, and shining in his glory. You can be more beautiful than an angel in heaven. You can have your place in heaven. So be encouraged to believe and have your rewards. I did have one friend once, and he said to me, well, I don't care about the rewards. I just as long as I make it to heaven. Well, if God's going to offer you treasures and rewards, it's a foolish thing to turn them down. So if God wants you to have a great reward in heaven, you should say, yes, Lord, what should I do? And you have to be a good and faithful servant so that God can look at you on the day of judgment and say, good and faithful servant, come and share your master's happiness. So that's what we want for every person here. I won't mind if you have more treasures in heaven than me. I just want you to have abundance of treasures in heaven so that you can have the great rewards, because we're working together. We're on the same side. We're not fighting against one another. Oh, I'll be jealous if you have a crown in heaven. No, God's got plenty to go around. We're working together, building up each other, encouraging each other. Believe for God's best. So if you've been backslidden, well, throw that away today. No more time to be backslidden. You've got to be on fire for Jesus. You've got to be living for God. You've got to be strong in God. You've got to be encouraged. So maybe you need some correction. Yes, you accept the correction. You need some changes in your heart. The way you've been speaking, maybe some correction needs, and all of us need it. I need it. Maybe you need some rebukes. You need God's heavy hand. Sometimes we need God's heavy hand upon us, and he can do it. He did it with Jonah. He ended up in the belly of a large fish because he was running away from God in his heart. And maybe a little bit you haven't fully surrendered to God, and it's very easy to sit in church without fully surrendering your heart. And I was talking to a nice little boy. He was 9 years old. And sometimes children can be quite honest. And this was yesterday morning, because I had to go to one house and do a Bible study there. And I was asking him, are you hot, lukewarm, or cold? And Jesus actually said, I will wish you were hot or cold, but because you're lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. And that was a warning to the church. It was a warning to Christians more than to unbelievers. And why doesn't Jesus want people to be lukewarm? A lukewarm person is a person who's heard the truth, known the truth, and maybe even started to follow the truth, and he's sort of taken a few steps and he's sort of become lukewarm, but he hasn't become hot. And he hasn't grown, he hasn't continued, he's gone nowhere in his walk with God. But the theme of this message today is being on fire so that you're hot for Jesus. So I asked this little boy, which one are you? Are you hot or cold? And he didn't want to say, so I said, are you hot? And he said, No, not really. What's wrong? You're here for a Bible study. You've got a hunger to learn the Bible. I mean, who has a... What 9-year-old rushes with his Bible on a Saturday morning? They would think, wow, he's got to be hot. And his grandmother was kind of saying, yes, you're hot. But he was still, I suppose, being honest, because he knew, even as a 9-year-old kid, that something in his heart was missing. Yes, God has called him and he's got a hunger to learn the Bible, but what is he doing all week? He knows that he's still being pulled by the world as a 9-year-old. So sometimes children can be very honest. Very honest. And I was trying to be merciful on him. I wasn't trying to say you're going to be spat out of Jesus' mouth. I was kind of saying, no, look at you. You've got a Bible, you're holding Bible, you're coming to a Bible study. You look hot to me. But he was still sort of saying, well, I'm not really sure. So I'll just keep encouraging him, building him up. So it shows how even children need specific teaching to help make them stronger in prayer, so they know, yes, I'm hot for Jesus. So if they're asked the question, are you hot for Jesus? They say, yes, I'm hot. Not, oh, I don't really know. Am I close to Jesus? A little bit. Are you going to heaven? Or maybe. Okay, how many children are like that? But what about adults? You don't want to be like that when you're an adult. You have more responsibility. You have a more developed brain, don't you, adults? So are you hot, lukewarm, or cold? Now, what often makes people cold is really they don't have much of a prayer life. And I'm really sad when there are Christians who don't know how to pray. So yes, you can easily go to church once a week and still be lukewarm because you're not having that fellowship, that intimacy, that walk with God. So you've got to stay close to God in your own prayer life. You've got to have your own prayer. And even sometimes a 5-minute prayer a day isn't enough. I know a lot of Fijians, they can have their daily devotion and still be backslidden. But they'll gather at a certain time for their devotion. And they'll listen for a few minutes and they might even be asked to say the prayer. But they're still backslidden, even though they're having a little devotion. So we want you to be hot for Jesus and on fire for God. And so we've got to see the treasures of heaven. Paul says, I know I'm going to have the crown of righteousness. He knew that he was going to heaven. He didn't have any doubt about it. And he knew that this crown of righteousness is not just for him. It's for all of us. It's for you. The devil doesn't want you to have this crown. But God wants you to have it. So my encouragement to you is to go hard out for God. And yes, you walk with him every day. You take Jesus with you to your job. You take Jesus with you to school. You're with Jesus all the time. You're with Jesus when you're washing the dishes. You're with Jesus when you're walking on the road. You're close to God. You're on fire. You don't lose the fire. You love God. There's a love for God in your heart. And that's a decision. I'm going to love God with all my heart. Love for Jesus is the key to heaven. It's what God is looking for. He's looking for friends. He's looking for those who will be close to him. He's looking for those who will love him. So Paul released this calling or responsibility onto Timothy. And in due time he would have died. But his ministry has continued on through others and especially through his writings. And we are blessed today, even through a man, just a simple man, a sinner, who was saved by God's grace. And we can benefit even from what God has used and done in his life in the Bible. So even once we die, the fruit of our lives can continue on. And that's what I want to be, and I hope you want to be that. So I have my view on the kingdom of heaven. Life is short. Eternity is forever. Make a decision to serve God wholeheartedly and serve him well. And in one sense, Timothy was a pastor. He was under Paul's apostolic ministry. He was busy doing church things. But even though he was so busy doing church things, Paul emphasized, do the work of an evangelist. That is, take the gospel to the lost. So even though you might be called to be a pastor, do the work of an evangelist also. Even though you're busy with other things, don't forget the lost souls that we have to reach. Remember the lost, and the fire of God will burn in your heart. Let's pray. Lord, give us this vision of what I've been preaching. Lord, that we will come and be in your presence every day. That we will realize that you are the mighty judge. Lord, we will realize that you are soon coming in your power and glory to establish your kingdom. But we'll also realize that much of this world is lost, and the fire of God has to be in us to preach the word. Lord, give us strength and power and anointing, boldness. And even some people here today who think, no, I'm not an evangelist. Let them also receive the fire of God on their hearts. And it might just be a simple word to someone. A small word in our eyes, but a great word, a great seed that you can use to save souls. Lord, we want to bring more souls into your kingdom. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'll just mention that I have tracts at the back there, and you're free to help yourself get and use in any way that you would like. I have my own testimony, a simple gospel one, what has God done for you? Responding to the call of salvation, that's sort of a discipleship one, making sure that they're not backslidden, strong believer. This is a healing prayer one. It's quite good, but you have to pray for people. Because if you give this one, do you need healing prayer, and they say yes, then you just pray for them. God's love in your family. Confess your sins and be saved. That's a foundation. Then I have a number for warning about the false prophets. This is one is why the Jehovah's Witnesses are false prophets. They don't pray to Jesus. They don't worship Jesus. LDS, which is Mormons, they use the name of Jesus to get people to follow another man called Joseph Smith, but Joseph Smith was terrible. These are my Bible studies that I do. I met about 2 weeks ago, two or 3 weeks ago now, in Suva, a man saying to me, don't use the word Jesus, because it's an English word, and he was going on about how you have to speak Hebrew. But I was saying, no, I'm preaching in English. And I wrote a tract about it, because I heard that there's a number of people now in Fiji and trying to promote this. But actually, even the New Testament wasn't written in Hebrew. It was written in Greek. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew. So God can speak through different languages. We don't have to pray in Hebrew or speak in Hebrew in order to preach. But that's what some people are trying to say. So it's different funny arguments can come up at different times. And I have one for Muslims. So help yourself to some tracts. Read the messages yourself. If you don't know how to share with a Jehovah's Witness or what they believe, it's good to read that tract. So this is encouragement to do evangelism. And if you're free during the week sometime and you'd like to do the open air gospel preaching, the man is at the back, Irani. So it's been a great encouragement. I've been working with him for 7 weeks now. We've been preaching about 3 times a week. And I just feel uplifted. I feel like the fire of God is in my heart because I'm proclaiming the gospel among the unbelievers, lifting up Jesus Christ. So this is an encouragement today that you can also do the work of an evangelist. Thank you so much. And back to Pastor for closing.